We look at we do are we impacting people? Am I doing the right thing? What's the call on my life? What's the purpose of my life? Am I in the right job? And he's just like, man, I want you to seek me. I want you to just hear me. I want you to know the word, to worship me. And he looks internally and he wants us to be at peace with him. And I was looking externally and thinking, I'm not doing enough. But that was a pivotal time for me, just in relaxing and seeking him without guilt. And just trusting on him to bear fruit through my life. And in time, that started to happen.
Welcome back to the Jesus Magnet Podcast. I'm your host, Joel. And today we have Matt Klein on the show. And he is the host of Pure Victory Podcast. And he is, I mean, it's a part of his ministry. He's got a whole lot with that ministry, but that has got some incredible stories and also incredible discussions on overcoming porn, sexual brokenness, all of that sort of stuff. So I'm very excited to have Matt on this episode. We've got a whole bunch of discussions that we're going to just jump in and out of. All that has happened in Matt's life. So, Matt, why don't you just start with sort of when did Jesus actually get real for you? And thank you so much for coming on the Jesus Magnet Podcast, by the way. Very happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. I've been excited about this. So it's good to chat with you. Not a fellow Kiwi, but a Kiwi, and I love New Zealand. I've got some cousins down there in Whanganui, so I stayed with them for a
Oh,
bit
wow.
and traveled the country. And I was actually just showing my wife pictures of New Zealand the other day when I was there 15 years ago. So yeah, what a great place that
Awesome.
you live. But yeah, like, when did Jesus become real? My dad's a pastor, and I remember being a kid and people would say, hey, like, your dad's a pastor, your grandpa's a pastor, you're gonna be a pastor. I'm like, no, I'm gonna play hockey. I'm a hockey boy. I'm in Canada, so I'm gonna play hockey. And throughout hockey, like, I was good at hockey and always, played top level, and got to the place where I could have played college and pro, and ended up getting hurt, and so I didn't continue on with hockey. But throughout that whole journey, people would say to me, like, in the dressing room, teammates or whatever, like, hey, you're a Christian, or like, what do you believe about God? And I'd always say, like, yeah, my dad's a pastor, so that's why I'm a Christian. And I never understood when people would talk about, this relationship with Jesus, or I heard from God, and I'm like, what? Like, he's something in the sky, he's far up there. How do you have a relationship with this invisible thing? But I also was always a believer. I always did my best to live the Christian life as much as I could, and wouldn't swear, wouldn't chase girls, wouldn't drink, like those kinds of things. But that was about the essence of it. And so I was 25, just about 26, and I'd had this thought for about 5 or 6 years of, one day I'm going to start an organization, a ministry in the church, helping people with porn, because porn was a struggle for me, and it was a prominent struggle, especially through teen years and into my early 20s. And so I thought, I'm going to start something like that, like AA, but in the church for porn. But probably when I'm like 50, probably when I'm older and more established in life. And so just before my 26th birthday, I had this experience where it was a supernatural thing. Like, there was a presence in the room is the best way I can describe it. And over my right shoulder, I heard these words, and the words were, that thing that you want to start in the future, I want you to start that now. And I said, yeah, now? And I just heard, yes, now. And I said, but that means changing everything in my life. And I heard again, yes, now. And so I knew that I was going to give up some business endeavors that I had been involved with in my 20s and pursue the call that God gave me that night. But I didn't really know what it would look like, and I had my ideas. I started kind of putting a plan together right away. But 4 days after this call that God gave me, I was at this Bible study, and I saw these other believers there that I had just met, and they were just passionately going for the Lord, like passionately worshiping Him, and and not just sitting around on couches just studying the Bible, which is amazing and we should do that, but they were also like personally with their personal relationship with Jesus, just expressing that to him and to each other and praying for each other. And I'm just like, I remember saying to myself, I'm the worst Christian here. And I've been in the church my whole life.
And I'm a pastor's kid.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so, so there's this person that said to me that night, hey, I had a word from God for you today. And I said, a word from God for me today. That was different lingo than I was used to. And so I was kind of skeptical. And she just said, I said, how do you know it was from God? She's like, well, I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but maybe I think it was God. And so I said, well, what was it? And she said, God said to me when I was praying today that he's going to take you into a season of intimacy with him like you've never known. And I just thought, okay, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I went to bed that night and I tossed and turned and I would, you know, sleep for an hour and wake up for a couple hours and just all night was like that. And I woke up in the morning and this was, you know, about 4 days after the Lord had called me to start this ministry. And when I woke up in the morning, I just kind of said, I kind of heard myself say, okay, I guess I'm changing now. And when I said that, I felt this physical sensation of peace. It was the Holy Spirit come and touch my forehead. And I felt this peace go from my head to my toes. And when it touched my toes, it was kind of like a carpet unraveling, like just unraveled over me. And when it touched my toes, I had this burning passion and desire to follow the call of God in my life and give up the things that were in my past. And it was like in an instant. And so that was the start of a year and a half or so of just really, really intense experiences with God and like being in the Bible just constantly. And I cleared out my closet in the apartment I lived in and just went in. There was an empty closet. I just go in there for long times at a time and pray and read the Bible. And it, just this passion and learning him, it was amazing. And so that was kind of the start of it. Wow. And just the last thing I'll say on this is that I was just reading a scripture about the disciples a couple months ago. And when it said that they were fishing and Jesus called them and they just dropped everything and followed him.
Yeah.
I felt like the Lord was encouraging me, like, do you see, like, that's what you did when you said that means changing everything in my life. And the Lord said, yeah, now. And so that was just kind of a cool thing that God led me in. And it was, yeah, it was an amazing time.
Wow. Wow. And are you still at high school at that point or how old are you? Well, you said you're 26.
I was just before my 26th birthday. Yeah.
That's right. Wow, man. And so being a pastor's kid, having that intimate relationship with Christ, was that in your church, was that something that was very common or did people more, like you said, they do the in-depth Bible studies, they do the good theology, but that walking out at that faith that sort of expressed in people, was that something that was kind of undercovers a little bit?
You know, I would say that there are some churches that are even more conservative than the church I grew up in. And obviously some are more expressive. So probably the one that I grew up in would be more conservative and not really seeing those expressions on a Sunday morning of that intimacy. But certainly there were people there that did have that relationship with Jesus. Mm. And that's where my question started. It's like, I'm hearing these people at my church talk about hearing from God or talk about relationship with Jesus. And I didn't know what that meant.
Mm.
And so it was interesting for me because when I had this change, and it was like a drastic change overnight, my parents, like I would kind of wonder, like, why did my parents never lead me in this or never teach me about this stuff? And then I would go and I'd hear my dad preach and I'd say to myself, oh, he actually is talking about this stuff and he is leading people in this. And my parents would then say to me, hey, do you remember this story that we told you or that story that we told you? And I'd say, wow, you were actually trying to lead me in this the whole time, but I was just kind of caught up in my own endeavors with hockey and then with starting some businesses.
Yeah.
And so once the Lord opened my eyes, it was like, wow, this has been around me my whole life, but maybe not to the degree that other churches show it, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was there. The Lord just had to open my eyes.
Wow. Wow. I love that. And when God said you're going to go and pretty much what you were planning to do at 50, you're going to start it now. Did you start that like as a hobby or like the I guess that is that the Pure Victory mission that you run?
Pure Victory Podcast is the podcast, but the ministry is called Restored Ministries, helping people with sexual brokenness find wholeness in Christ and just heal from a lot of, whether it's pornography and or sexual addiction, sexual abuse, whatever the sexual brokenness is, we help with that with Restored Ministries. The podcast is part of it. But I started like literally that week, maybe the next week, I'm not sure, but I started a small group at my house, my apartment, and just had guys over. And I remember I taught them everything I knew on the first session. And then the next week, I just got up a YouTube video of some other teaching because I didn't have anything else to offer. And so I knew nothing, but I started.
Yeah.
And it was around that time where God started putting it on other people's hearts too to ask me to preach. And I remember the first guy that ever asked me to preach, years later, I said to him, like, why did you ask me? I had nothing. Like, I was a nobody. And he just said, I was just praying and felt like God was putting your name on my heart to have you come and preach. And I didn't know what I was doing, but God just started opening doors for that. And so it was like, I just locally with some churches, they would kind of ask me to come and speak to their groups about pornography. But it wasn't for about 3.5 years that we actually started. I got married in the meantime, but that my wife and I actually started Restored Ministries. And so I remember that first year or so after he called me to it, and I'm just have this passion for him that's growing. And I would feel guilty though, because I didn't feel like I was doing enough, and I didn't feel like people were being impacted. And if I preached, it wasn't good enough, or people weren't, you know, as changed as I wanted. And so I would feel guilty and just say like, oh Lord, I'm sorry, you've called me to this and I'm not doing enough. And I remember it was about 14 months after the Lord had called me to this, I was kind of beating myself up the whole time that I wasn't doing enough for him. And I was speaking at this men's breakfast, but it was on Valentine's Day. And it was kind of funny because I was single, but they brought their wives, and I'm speaking on the fruit that comes from intimacy in relationship, but it was more relationship with God. And then there's fruit, but also it was relevant to them. But it was in that message that I felt like the Lord said to me, do you see what I've done with you? I've brought you into intimacy, and I want you to relax on the fruit because it will come.
Mm.
And so it was just so kind. It was the kindness of God to speak to me in that way, because he knew I had been hard on myself, but I had been unnecessarily hard on myself.
Mm.
Because we just think outward so much, right? Like we look at, are we impacting people? Am I doing the right thing? What's the call on my life? What's the purpose of my life? Am I in the right job? And he's just like, man, I want you to seek me.
Mm.
I want you to just hear me. I want you to know the word, to worship me. And he looks internally, and he wants us to be at peace with him. And I was looking externally and thinking, I'm not doing enough. But that was a pivotal time for me, just in relaxing and seeking him without guilt, and just trusting on him to bear fruit through my life. And in time, that started to happen.
Wow. You're saying that you heard the Lord's voice. Is that an audible thing, or is that something that happens in the heart, or how do you hear God's voice? How do you know it's God?
So that's a good question. God speaks in so many ways. He's so creative. That time, it was just something in my heart. It sounds like our thoughts, right? But it's not our thoughts. Mm. That's not something that I would have ever thought, because it was actually contrary to the way that I was thinking. And it wasn't something that I decided to tell myself. They were thoughts that came to me, but they were thoughts that came to me that then produced peace and that are aligned with scripture, because there's tons of scriptures that go with what he said. And so we can hear thoughts, but they create anxiety or create depression, or in my case, they're very hard on myself and producing a feeling of guilt or shame in my life. Those are not of him. Those are from ourselves and our flesh, or from our enemy. And so that time, how I heard the Lord, it was just he put thoughts on my heart that were in line with scripture, that brought me into peace and set me free from a way of thinking that was holding me back.
And you said that you had 14 months of like a struggle of, I guess, not backing yourself and what this ministry was. Why? I mean, that happens all the time with new businesses, you know, and
yeah.
outside of the kingdom of God is this thing of not backing yourself. Do you think there's something that you learned during that period for other people listening and they're going, you know, I feel like I'm called to go do X, Y, Z, but they're not feeling like they can back themselves. What's something that you know that you could have done differently to back yourself, that you know that's where God's wanting you to go? And to, I suppose, how do you get that encouragement to not lose momentum?
Sure. Well, that's a good question. When God calls us to something, we think this is going to be amazing. This, like, the call that he's got for me, like, I'm going to go build this ministry and see people changed. That's going to be amazing. Or he's called me to be a business owner and have wealth. That's going to be incredible.
Mm.
And then we don't know the journey, or he's called me to be a mom, or he's called me to be a dad. This is going to be amazing. We don't know the journey from when we get the call to when the call actually manifests and becomes real in our life. And in between those two points, it's so different than what we think. There's so many more challenges. There's so many things that we think go wrong. And God brings us through things. So what I would say, looking back, is I would have just been more at peace with the timing and thought long-term. And thought, like, this is something that God is going to build, not something that I have to build because he's called me to it. So now, Matt, go do it. It was, as I seek him, he's going to build it. And he'll do it in his time, in his way. And I just need to turn my ear to him and just listen and seek him and fall in love with him, grow in love with him all the time. That would have been a different approach than I had. But you know what? We learn. And it's totally fine that I went through that. And I learned that. And I want people to hear that too, is that if you're putting too much pressure on yourself or whatever mistake you're making, just relax a little bit. God's not putting pressure on you. He's wanting to take it off of you. Yeah. He's wanting to give you, Matthew 11 says, a burden that's light, not one that's heavy. And so if you feel like your burden is heavy, he's not going to take the whole burden, like every burden from you. It says his burden is light. So he gives us a light burden, but he walks with us and he teaches us how to carry that burden. And that was something that would have been something that would have been helpful for me, but I'm not sure if I would have understood that, because the process of growth and just learning his character and learning how to imitate him, as it says in Ephesians 5:1, to be imitators of him, that it's a process. And carrying out the promises that God has for us, there's always a process that we have to walk through. And it just looks different than what we think. And so don't lose hope with the call that God has for you if you're in that time, because it will happen if it was God. But he's doing a thing in you that's greater and going to produce even better results than you could do without going through the process.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It's really good. I'm sort of applying it to my own life as well.
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With the Jesus magnet, sometimes the way that I see it is like planting the seeds. Especially being an audio only podcast, you're not speaking. Like if I was a preacher, the moment you get on the stage, you can automatically see how many people are listening to you because they're right in front of you. But not as a podcast, you got no visual. You just got to believe in faith. Someone's going to hear this. even if one person, it's very different. And, you know, who knows? Eventually it might be, you know, equivalent to preaching to the biggest stadiums in the world. And it's just one of those things that you're planting those seeds and you don't know if, you know, they're actually being planted or where they're being planted. But, it's just one of those cool things that I see. I had this vision once of we went around New Zealand on a tour for the Jesus Magnet and just went to lots of different churches and lots of different YWAM bases and Bible studies all the way from the very south of the south right up to the top of the North Island in New Zealand. And I had this vision of like a little convoy van driving up the center of New Zealand with this wake sort of coming behind it. And it's spreading across New Zealand, but we're like well gone by the time that the wake hits the rest of New Zealand. Wow. And it was God saying, you're going to be planting all these seeds. You're probably never going to see how impactful your trip was until you're already finished. Wow. But just, you know, trust me. And also, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom of God. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
It was a good imagery that I had, a bit of a vision that came once during worship. But yeah, no, quite cool. So you've actually mentioned, you know, a couple of cool topics that we can go into. But I would like to talk about your ministry, and you mentioned some financial miracles that have happened in your life. How did, why don't you walk me through that and sort of how all those financial miracles ended up happening?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess the most prevalent one was, I was 21. I wanted to be in business. So one of the things that I wanted to do was be a real estate investor. And so I started networking and learning different ways to do things. And so I got into this real estate deal when I was 21. And the people that were partnering with me, they were not good people. I mean, they're not of the Lord. I'm sure they mean well in their own way, whatever, but their money is their first love for sure. And so the deal kept getting delayed. And every time it would get delayed, I would always feel, and I'm sure now looking back, that it was God saying, get out. I'd always feel like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this, but it looks too good on paper. Let's do it. And so it was probably 7 or 8 times I get delayed. Get out. And it's like, no, it looks too good. So anyways, I got into it. A couple years later, it all goes south. I have $40,000 of debt at 23, and I'm single and don't have a good income. And then they left, like these people fled. They were the ones going to teach me and mentor me. They were nowhere to be found. It ended up, they screwed a lot of people. They went bankrupt and they left. And I mean, they were on the news, and yeah, just a lot of people that they had hurt were interviewed and I wasn't. But so it was a sour thing. So anyways, I'm single, not much money, not much income, praying like, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to get out of this. And so, it was maybe the first time in my life that I was like, I know I can trust God. Like, I know I can. Mm. And again, I wasn't like super close to the Lord pursuing him every day, but still it was like, no, I think I can trust him. So I would be praying and just say, God, get me out of this. And I remember I went to the condo where my place was. It was a unit in a condo building, and the condo manager said, hey, do you know that the new owners here that took over from these people, they want to buy your suite, but they were offering me way less. Like, I'd be way in the hole if I took what they offered. And so I went to a lawyer and I said to him, the lawyer where I did the closing documents. And I said to him, hey, like, this is a situation. I got all this debt. Is there any way I can get out of this legally? And he said, well, I'm kind of in a pickle because the people that you partnered with went bankrupt. They owed me a lot of money. So your assets, actually, like, you're coming to me for legal advice, but you actually owe me like $18,000. And I can't really give you legal advice because when you owe these other people money, now you actually owe me money.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh wow, this is crazy. So what he said though, he's like, I'll talk to my partner and see what I can do. So he cut the debt that I owed him in half and said I could pay him over 18 months. And also said, like, gave me advice, good advice on what to do in the future with different deals. And so I went to him seeking legal advice, and it turns out that he actually very, very much helped me with this debt load being reduced. Wow. And so then, but I still owned this condo. And so I was working at this company, at my friend's company at the time. And there was this guy who had just been divorced. And so he was kind of hopping around from friends' rooms to another friend's room. And every week he'd have a different place to stay. And so it was like November 27th or something, where I just heard him saying like, hey, I need a place to stay on December 1st. And I was trying to get out of this deal. My tenants had left, like, they were nowhere to be found. They hadn't paid me. And it was just a disaster all around. And so I'm praying like, God, get me out of this. And my lawyers now helped me out. And now this coworker is saying, hey, I need a place for December 1st. And so I said, well, I have a place, like, my tenants fled, and I have a place that you can move into. And he said, well, let's go check it out. And so we checked it out that day, or I think it was a couple of days later. I'm getting my dates wrong, but it was all within like the last 3 or 4 days of November. And so I walked in with him into the place, and he said, does this have 9-foot ceilings? And I said, yeah. And he said, does it have a patio? And I said, yeah, let's go around the corner. You can see the patio. And he said, this is crazy, because 2 days ago, he went out for a meal with his buddy. He would meet with his buddy like every Saturday, and it was like Tuesday where his buddy said, "Hey, I need to meet with you." And his buddy said, "I had a dream last night, Mike. You're gonna live in a place in December 1st. This is what the layout is of the place." So he walked in and he's like, "This is exactly what my friend described in his dream a
Wow.
couple nights ago." And it was crazy. And so he helped me clean the place out, and then he moved in and he paid my last month's rent before the owners took over and whatever. I got rid of the place. And so then over the next couple of years, I started just being super diligent with my budget, and I paid down 2/3, or well, whatever the debt load was. I paid off like $27,000 or $30,000 of debt or whatever over the next few years. And I'd always tell myself, like, I got myself into this. I got to get myself out of it, and got to be responsible, and all the time, like, you got yourself into it, got to get out of it, and this is a good thing to do. And I believe that there's a portion of that that's true. But I was then in this ministry school that I went to, where after the Lord kind of encountered me and changed my life, he led me to this ministry school, and I still had this debt load. And they were patient with me because I couldn't pay the registration fee, but they just let me in anyway. And so I remember I was on my I was sitting at my kitchen table, and I was just praying. I was saying, "God, I love being generous. I love being able to give." And I heard the Lord say, "When's the last time you gave anything outside your tithe?" And again, it was just like a thought that came to me, but it was like not condemning, just like, "Oh crap, I haven't given anything for a while." And so I literally got down on my hands and knees on my floor, and I was like, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry. I've forgotten about this part." And I heard these words that were so faint and subtle. I heard, "I want you to give $100 to this one particular person." I won't say their name. And I thought, this is, I don't know, like, you talk about how do you know God's voice. In that time, I didn't know if it was God. It was super faint. And so I said to him in prayer, I just said, "Can you confirm that this was you? Because I don't really know if that was just me in my guilt making something up." And so that night I went to a conference, and this guy was preaching, and I'd never heard of him before, but he was preaching a good message. And he said, he's older, he's like in his 70s, and he told this story. He said, "When I was in my 20s, I had no money. I was broke. And the Lord told me to give $100 to this one person. And I said to the Lord, 'I don't know if that was you, God. Can you confirm that that was you?'" And then something happened behind him, and it confirmed whatever God said. And he's like, "So then I gave this $100 to this person, and then I saw God do all of these things." And so I'm hearing that story like a few hours after I said to the Lord, "Can you confirm that that was you telling me to give $100?" So I gave $100 just anonymously to this person at my ministry school. And a month later, I was driving just on my own, and again, it was just God spoke to me, and he said, "Matt, if you pay off your debt, where do I get the glory?" And I said to him, "I guess you don't. I guess I get the glory if I pay off the debt." And so then I heard, "Why don't you give me your finances? Because I want to pay it off more than you want to, and I can do it better than you can." Those were the words I was. I said, "Okay." So I pulled over, I closed my eyes, I prayed, I remember I pictured the cross. I pictured Jesus hanging on the cross and me holding this little box representing my finances, and I threw it at the cross, and I said, "Jesus, take it. Like, it's too much for me. You just take it." And my eyes were closed, but in my, sorry if this sounds too crazy for some people, but in my mind, it wasn't my mind's eye, it was like in front of my left eye. When my eyes were closed, I saw the face of Jesus appear, and it was so powerful that it literally hurt like the bone structure around my ear or around my eye. Like, it hurt for like 4 or 5 hours after. So in front of my left eye, I saw the face of Jesus appear, and it was so powerful that I had this physical like pressure pain in the bone structure around my eye for a few hours afterwards, to the point where I was like, I don't know if I even want to close my eye, because that like the pressure with the power of this of seeing Jesus was so real. And so it says in Revelation that when John saw Jesus, looking at his face was like looking at the sun at full strength. And so if you look at the sun, it's going to hurt you physically. And That's what it was like. So it was crazy.
Oh my
And so to
gosh.
me, it was like, it was also, I guess, like Peter, when Peter's thinking and he says, "Jesus, help." And it says immediately Jesus reached out his hand. When I was sinking in my debt and I surrendered it to him, immediately I saw his face. And the next day I remember I Googled what it, or I Googled images of Jesus. Do you remember, or have you heard of that little 4-year-old girl, Akian, whatever? And she
Yeah,
painted a picture of
that's
Jesus.
crazy, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I saw all these pictures and I was scrolling and then I saw that one. I was like, that's the face that I saw yesterday.
Wow.
And it was wild. It was crazy.
You know that
And so,
I believe that painting was stolen for years. Yeah, stolen
oh,
from her
really?
for years, and she got it back when she was in her teenage years or adult, young adult or something like that. But yeah,
Oh, crazy.
somebody actually nicked it. Yeah.
Crazy. That's wild. I mean, that's an amazing story, just her story, because she was 4. Like, her mom was an atheist and they didn't believe God. She started having these visions. It's wild. But so then, the next week I was at my ministry school and I was, people knew that I was going to start, or I had been already talking about pornography and going to start this ministry. And so we were in this little class and the pastor of the church was teaching, and he just stopped halfway through the teaching and he said, "You know what, you guys, I just feel like the Lord leading me to say, I just want us to be vulnerable with each other. I want us to be vulnerable. I want each of us to share something vulnerable." And these two girls, I remember, they're like so uncomfortable with it. And they looked at me and they said, "Matt, you love being vulnerable, don't you? We hate this stuff. You probably love it." And then I just sensed God speak to me and he said, "When have you ever told anybody about your finances?" And I just thought, I never have. And
Oh, wow.
so the words that I sensed, because there was a lot of shame. I never told anybody for years about my debt. And so then the words that I heard were, "I want you to start telling people, because when I come through with your finances, they're going to know that it was me and not you." But what he said was, "I want you to tell people first before that happens." And so then the next week after that, this is how I know it was the Lord. We were with a different teacher in a different classroom, and this teacher did something she never did before. She said, "You know what, guys, I don't want to do teaching today. I just want us to be vulnerable with each other and share something that is vulnerable." Same thing that happened the week before with a different teacher. And I was like, man, this is brutal. And so that was the time where I shared about my whole story with the real estate and the debt and all of that. And then I said, "But the Lord said this to me recently, and I need to share with you guys what happened." And then I preached at a church the next month and I shared the story. And I just said, "This is what the Lord has done so far. This is what he said to me." It was like in the middle of it. Well, the next month, so he spoke to me in March. In April, I started sharing with people. And then in May until September, I had $13,000 left of this debt. And there was about $72,000 that came in outside of my job income.
What?
Crazy.
From like
So there was a,
generosity, or was it, what was it from?
I'd been in a car accident. And so one was like the insurance payout was the first thing.
Yeah.
And then,
Thank
and
God
then my
uses
wife and I
anything,
got
eh?
married. Yeah, exactly, right. And then my wife and I got married in that time. And so people were just extremely generous with
Wow.
helping pay for things for us. So probably like about 30,000 was from people's generosity
Oh my
towards us.
gosh, that's
It was wild.
insane.
It was wild. So crazy story. Crazy. It's like, well, did God really speak to you? It's like, well, the fruit of it was exactly what he shared.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's really cool. That's really cool. Have you ever wanted to go back into real estate investing? Or
No,
no?
no, no, I really don't. I don't know. I love what I'm doing with the ministry. And right now that's paying our bills. So it's not abundant, but it is. And I love it. So I have no interest in going to real estate right now. Maybe in the future, who knows?
Just not with those guys. Yeah,
Yeah,
nice.
exactly. Exactly. Now I
Man.
found him on Facebook. It was like 9 or 10 years later. I found him on Facebook and reached out to him. I said, "Hey, what happened?" And they had split. So I found the husband, but they had split up because of their bankruptcy. So I said, "What happened?" And he just said, "Dude," he's like, "I think about that every day. I carry the guilt of that every day. There were so many people that were hurt by us. I'm so sorry for how that affected you." And I was able to just say, "Hey, listen, I forgive you. I pray for you. I want you to know that I don't want you to carry the guilt of what you did to me. I'm sorry that you carry that from all these other people. And so I was able to forgive him personally. And I asked him to go for lunch just so that I could share more of the story of how God provided, but he didn't. He's that's a no from him so far, but hopefully one day.
Maybe he'll hear this this episode. Who knows? Man, that's awesome,
hopefully.
Though.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, it's so important that people realize that they are forgiven, you know. It can be really self-destructive if people are walking around not realize, like if you have forgiven him and he has no idea. It can be quite self-destructive on his end.
Totally.
And it's so important to communicate that. So I love how you actually reached out, found him, forgave him, you know, let him know that, you know, God actually provide. And because that can be so self-destructive. I love that. I love that. So let's I want to hear a little bit more about this ministry that you have been doing with Restored Ministries. There's definitely a focus, of course, on pornography and sexual brokenness. Do you want to share a little bit about that journey and how, well, one thing in that is learning to hear God's voice throughout that, because you've had this journey of doing the ministry, and you said that God teaches and speaks to you in so many different ways, but how has he spoken to you differently while you've been on this journey of developing this ministry for him?
Cool. Yeah, good question.
Long question.
Yeah, no, it's good. Well, speaking of long, I have long answers today. But so I'll share this. So 4 months after the Lord called me, started speaking to me in different ways, I had never gotten a dream from him that I knew was from him. So one night I just said to God, it'd be cool if you gave me a dream, or can I get a dream from you tonight or something? And so it was funny because I was preaching the next day at this new church, and sermon prep that week was brutal. It was just a grind, and I didn't feel like God was leading me in anything, and I'm trying to put it together. And I literally remember clearly it was Saturday afternoon, and I just closed my computer and I said to myself, well, that's it. It's gonna be what it is. And it just wasn't a good sermon, in my opinion. And so that night I asked for a dream, went to sleep, and God gave me a dream. It was the first time ever that I could recognize one from him. And so in the dream, I was golfing with a couple buddies, and I was playing the round of my life. Like, I'm out driving them. I'm like even par through a few holes, which is not my real story. And they weren't, and they were shooting. They were like, two shots of theirs wouldn't equal one of mine. And so I remember I saw the overhead view of us on the golf course, and all of a sudden, like, I was waiting for them to shoot and catch up to me. And all of a sudden I just fled. I fled through the trees on the golf course. I just took off. And I saw my buddies, like, where did Kleiner go? Where is he? We're looking for him. And they were kind of like in a panic. And so the next scene, we have a shopping center here in Edmonton called South Common. And so I had driven my car into the turning lane, but then I parked in the turning lane and just got out of my car, and I just booked it. And all these cars were then trying to swerve and get out of the way of my car and then each other and trying to not get hit. And then the next scene after that is in Edmonton here, we have the biggest mall in North America, West Edmonton Mall. And so I was hiding in between beams and hiding in stores, and I could hear on the overhead the security system or whatever, like the speaker system. They're like, hey, security, find this guy. And so eventually I just confessed to the security. I said, I'm the guy that you're looking for. And they're like, okay, come with us. And so they took me into a jail cell. And I said, before you take me into the, or they took me to the jailhouse, I guess. I said, before you take me into a cell, can I just call my dad? So they said, yeah, there's a phone there. You can call your dad. And so I called my dad and I said to him on the phone, hey, you should have seen me on the course. Like, I was nailing it. And then I said, but then I ran. I don't know why I ran off the course. And I remember in the dream, I heard my dad just kind of laugh and just say, that's okay. Just get back on track, or just get back on the course. And so then the next scene, I was back on the golf course with my buddies, and it was totally peaceful, totally blissful. And I saw this sun, it was a really big sun. And I saw this smiling face in the sun shining down on me like I had done nothing wrong. I was totally pure. And so the dream, the visual part of it ended, but then, like,
can I ask if the sun was like I'm just imagining that son in the Teletubbies with the baby's face.
Teletubbies, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right.
I should look it up.
Okay. Please. I'll see if I can send it to you.
Oh, that's funny. That's so funny. I just looked it up. It wasn't like that. That's pretty funny. Oh, man. No, so it was a, anyways. The dream ended, and I heard the Lord say, when you were golfing, you were playing really well. You're on the right track in life, man. You didn't mean to sin, but in a moment you fled the course. It wasn't your plan. It wasn't your intention, but in a moment you fled. So when you sin, you don't mean to sin. It's not what's in your heart or whatever. Like, it's not what you want, but you sin in a moment where it's a mistake.
Mm.
But then when you sin, the ripple effect of that, your behavior affects other people. And so when you sin, other people were in chaos. Other people were negatively affected around you. And on the flip side, when we're on the right track, other people are affected in a good way, because what we do matters. And that's how the Lord made us. And so then when I turned myself in the mall, that was me confessing my sin. And when I called my dad, it was me going to God, having a conversation with my Heavenly Father, and him forgiving me. And then when I was back on the course, and him looking at me as if I had done nothing wrong in my life, like I was totally pure, it's just like Jesus is saying in Isaiah, or Isaiah is saying, that one will come who says, I throw your sin behind me, or your sins are as far from the east as the east is from the west. And so, you know, or even Colossians 1 talks about, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he presents us as holy and blameless and above reproach before the Father. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And so this dream was one where the Lord gave me that dream in this process of learning how to minister to other people when they're in sin, and also how to not carry my own shame and condemnation and guilt from my sin.
Yeah.
And just seeing, like, he instantly forgives us and sees us as pure when we come to him and we confess and we repent. And
wow,
it's amazing. And so that was a personal thing that happened along the way. But
do you think that do you think that you playing golf that well is how good God sees you at playing golf as well? In the sense of, like, he presents us as holy and blameless, as like a good golf player, even though you're not.
So even when I four putt and score an eight, then he sees it as a par. Yeah, I hope so.
Oh, so good.
Let's go with that, Joel. I like it. But do you think that would work with buddies? If I get a bogey, I'm like, I got a par, guys. That's what the Lord says.
Yeah, just run with it. I think
that might work on the golf.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll blame Joel in New Zealand. So.
Yeah, go for it.
But in starting the ministry, I had worked under a guy for a little bit, just in learning. I had gotten that wisdom from someone, because I started asking a lot of different people who had started ministries and pastors, just, hey, this is what God called me to. How do I start this ministry? And so one piece of advice was work under somebody for a bit. And so that's why there was a 3.5 year stretch from when I got called to when I actually started Restored Ministries. Cause in the meantime, I worked under another guy for a bit, and that was good. Just learning from him. And then it just came time where we weren't moving forward with what that guy in that organization, what we were trying to do together, because we had different visions and different calls from God. And so, and like, he's a great guy. Just was different. Just our call was different. So we started Restored Ministries, and we started offline, just doing local conferences here and workshops and coaching, doing groups and one-on-one, like, in person. And then in November of 2019, I remember I just felt the Lord giving me a idea of what it could look like to have a big interactive program online. And it wasn't something that I had considered before, but just through prayer, I felt like, okay, this is the next step. And then I started building it in February of 2020, our the program that we use now. And then obviously the next month, the world shut down. And so the timing of it was really cool, where God was leading us to go online and build it even before COVID happened. And so in the summer of 2020, we launched our online program, and that's just been amazing since. So that's been a little bit of the journey of the ministry. And yeah, my story has been just with pornography, but there's so much other stuff that people get into that than I never personally did, but now it's just kind of an everyday conversation for us with just tons of sexual brokenness. So that's why we talk about sexual brokenness. It's not just helping people overcome porn, but it's whatever your brokenness is, we want to help you.
That's so cool. And so our listeners, if they are struggling with any sort of sexual brokenness, they can just touch base with you, and you guys will do, what is it, classes, video chats, what kind of courses?
Yeah, so there's courses people can take. There's one-on-one coaching, there's group coaching. So we have various leaders that are trained up and they know how to lead people. And it's more for men and for marriages right now. We want to have a woman leader come on and lead the women too, but we do refer out to different ministries that help people or help women who are addicted to things. And so But yeah, so yeah, there's courses, there's group work, there's one-on-one, and people can go to restoredministries.ca and they can just book a call with someone if they want. But one other thing that people could do is we have a 14-day sexual self-awareness email series. And so it's just leading people through like understanding your sexual story and what happened to you when you were young and how did your sexual development get off track in your brain, and how does that work spiritually? And so, just it helps you understand yourself so that you don't have to just kind of feel guilty about the things that you did. But it's like, oh, God sees me with compassion, and now I can see myself with some compassion too, not letting myself off the hook, but also like, okay, things happened to me that I didn't want. And so, anyways, it helps us understand the starting place of then healing from our brokenness. And so, that's at restoredministries.ca/14 days, and people can register for that email series for free, and it's a great place to get going.
Awesome. Awesome. If you send that to me, I'll make sure that's in the description.
Sure.
You mentioned before our podcast started, you had some interesting testimonies on some demonic attacks that you had gone through. I would love to hear a bit about that. I'm sure our listeners are quite keen to hear. I mean, they're always so fascinating to see what's going on in the spiritual. But yeah, do you want to share a little bit about those demonic attacks that you've gone through?
Yeah, it is fascinating. Some people are scared of it. Like when I'm like, yeah, a demon tried to choke me out in my sleep. People are like, oh, I don't want to hear it. I'll tell you, like, I'll tell this in conjunction with also sharing the other time where I saw Jesus. And the power of Jesus is, I mean, it's infinitely more than the power of an evil spirit. And so it's not something to be worried about. But yeah, so I was sleeping one afternoon, and I had this dream. Again, like God speaks in different ways, and we want to tune our spirit with Him. So, and regardless, I had this dream, and it was like a second long. And in the dream, I heard God say, "When a demon attacks you in your sleep, you can call on my name. You can call on Jesus' name, and I'll set you free." That was the dream. And I woke up immediately when the dream ended, and I was lying on my right side. And I tried to roll over onto my back and I couldn't move. And I felt this pressure pushing down on my hip. And so pushing me down to the bed, pinning me to the bed. And I couldn't see anything, couldn't hear anything. I just was like, wow, I can't move right now. And then I felt this pressure moving up my body and it started choking me out and very aggressively choking me, like physically choking me. I was losing my breath. I remember panicking for a second and thinking, if this goes 10 seconds, I'm dead. But then I remembered my dream. And so I was like, in the name of Jesus. And I could like barely get out Jesus. And when I did, when I said it though, I felt this thing lift off of me. And I physically, with my ear, I physically heard it scream the most hysterically fearful scream that I've ever heard. And it went like through my apartment walls and just left my place. And I sat up and I had this crazy peace the rest of the evening. Like, and I remember laughing, like, why would they try that? They know Jesus wins. Like, why would they try that? But there was a, yeah, it was a pretty crazy thing. But you know what? I bet even a listener has had that experience, because
That's
the more I tell that, the
I've had that as
more people are
well.
like, I've had that too. You've had that?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've done a little bit of research on it. It's called sleep paralysis, and it's a universal thing that happens all over the world. But it's always the same thing. It's this demonic thing that sits on you, and then slowly starts to choke you or do some things. And I've had exactly the same thing. I've gone, in the name of Jesus, leave. And it just can't handle it. It's quite weird, eh? But it's definitely a demonic spirit that all over the world, which in my mind just shows it authenticates the spiritual realm really trying to attack us all the time. Yeah, it's just crazy.
100%.
Yeah.
That's wild. You've had that too. It is.
Yep.
It is a crazy thing. But isn't it cool when you call on Jesus?
Yeah.
He sets you free.
So I had it I've probably had it maybe a small handful, maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 times in my life. I had it recently in the last, like, I haven't had any for maybe 10 years. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, I had, so I'm almost 30 now. So I had it a lot from 20 down, 20 and below, like teenage years, I had it quite a bit. But I didn't have any for like maybe 5 or 6 years, and I was maybe 28 years old, and I, you know, started getting quite intimate with Jesus and becoming, I guess, the man of God that God's called all of us to be. And I remember having this another spirit come into my room, and he was standing in the corner of the room, and
wow.
I remember waking up, seeing this thing in the corner of my room, and I went, oh, just go away. I can't be bothered. There was no fear. There was no fear at all. It was just,
yeah.
I'm trying to sleep. Go away. And it was this peace that I had from walking with Christ. And I remember waking up in the morning because I was so tired. But I remember waking up in the morning and just laughing on the response of, like, having no fear at all from this thing. And I knew it was there, and it was watching me, and it was like going to get closer and going to start choking me out. And then it didn't even try, because I was like, oh, just go away.
That's awesome.
I didn't even say Jesus' name. I was just like, just go away.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it is weird. I've heard that quite a few times, even on this podcast. You're not alone. And yeah, it's an amazing phenomenon that people can call out the name of Jesus, and man, things move, things vanish. And I've had a door slam on one occasion, and another time, this happened when I was I was doing teachers college, and it was the craziest time that it ever happened. Essentially, the lights in my bedroom were starting to flicker, and I started to have like a bit of a panic attack. And I thought it was just a panic attack. And then after saying the name of Jesus, everything stopped. But this is where it gets crazy, is my light bulb exploded and shattered. And I was like, whoa. That was not just in my mind. You know, like when stuff in the physical blows up.
Yeah.
It was like, crazy, whoa. Dude. Yeah. So, but yeah, the name of Jesus conquers it all.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like you say, like, when you respond in peace, they hate that. When we respond with fear and anxiety and all that,
that's what I love.
They feed off of it. They love it.
Mm.
Yeah. That's cool. You responded with peace like that. I've heard of that, where you don't even call on Jesus. You just have the peace of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like, get out of here. And then they just leave. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. I remember being so tired. It was just, I was so tired, and I was just like, go away. And oh, yeah. That was the last time it happened. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Haven't had it for a long time.
It was probably
What's that?
Yeah.
Now you go.
Well, it was like I don't know, a month or two later or something. I had this insecurity my whole life, like, well, for say 16 years, that people didn't want to hear my voice, or, you know, if there's like a group discussion, I'd be quiet, just tell myself, like, nobody cares about your opinion. Just they're not going to take you seriously. Just don't say anything. And so I remember one night I was reading my Bible, and I'm like, oh, I should pray. So I went in my prayer closet, and I was praying, and sorry if this bugs people's theology, it's fine, but I was
go for it.
I was sitting on my sitting up kind of, and I thought I want to pray in tongues before I pray in English. Just scripture says praying in tongues edifies your spirit, and I don't think if people don't pray in tongues that they don't have the Holy Spirit. But anyways, I was praying in tongues, and all of a sudden my right one of my legs and my head started shaking like crazy, and I was like, what is happening? And so I lay down, like totally flat on the floor, and I'm like, I have no idea what's happening. I tried to close my mouth, tried to stop praying in tongues. I couldn't. My mouth would just open, and it would just, the tongues would keep on flowing. And it was like, this is crazy experience. So my picture this, like, it's wild. And everybody should do this. It was like, I didn't plan for this. I'm lying on my floor on my back, my legs shaking, my head shaking, and I can't stop praying in tongues. Like, crazy experience. And so then I was praying for like half an hour, and eventually, so I wasn't really able to laugh. And so people would be telling jokes. I remember my dad was telling jokes one night or stories, and like people would be laughing about things. I couldn't really laugh. I was so oppressed. I'd just be like trying to force a giggle kind of. And even with pornography, with when they do MRI scans, the parts of your brain that where there's joy or like the ability to connect with the other people, they're so underdeveloped when you're engaged in porn for so long. And so I was talking with a brain scientist just a couple months ago or a month ago. I was sharing this story with him and just saying like, God gave me a laugh this night. And I had been praying for 2 months, like, God, help me to laugh. I want to be able to laugh. I want to be free to laugh. And so this brain scientist was like, well, it's absolutely true. When you're stuck in porn, you can't laugh in the same way. And so I had noticed this, and I'd been praying to God, help me to laugh. And so now this night comes, my head shaking, my legs shaking, praying in tongues for like half an hour. Eventually the prayer stopped and I started laughing, like laughing hysterically. And it was, again, I couldn't really stop it. It was, maybe I could have forced it. I don't know. But I went to go get a drink of water finally. I'm like, I got to go to bed. It was late. And so I tried to get a drink of water, and my hand was shaking so much. I couldn't do it. So I put it down on the counter, and I was laughing. And I remember thinking about this insecurity that, hey, nobody wants to hear my voice, and I should just be quiet around people. And I remember, as I was thinking about that, clear as anything, this wasn't like just a thought. It was, I heard a voice in my ear say, that insecurity is too big for God to deal with. And as soon as I heard that, my arms started shaking like crazy, like just even more intensely than it was before. And then I heard, I'm shaking that off of you. I'm shaking that off of you. And I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning, and I've never had that insecurity since. It was a stronghold for 16 years.
Wow.
And now it's what, 9 years later or something? I've never had it since.
That is amazing. Oh my gosh.
It's crazy.
How old are you, man? So,
I'm 35. I'm almost 36. Next month I'll be 36. So nice. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how it works. I just know God set me free, and there was a demonic aspect to my insecurity.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, but then a month after that, this was, I don't know. No, sorry, not a month after that. It was the same week. That happened on a Tuesday night. And then that following Sunday, I was staying at my parents' place. They had been away for a week, and so I was sleeping in their master bedroom. It was just closer to my ministry school. And so I went to go take my contacts out, went to the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror to take my contacts out, and I looked in the mirror, and there were different eyes looking back at me. And I could not stop looking at these eyes, except they were so crazy powerful that I couldn't handle the power of it, and I had to look away. But then these eyes were so beautiful and gorgeous, and just, oh man, I just like, I had this craving to look. So I look back at these eyes and just like, oh, they're so beautiful. And then the power was too much, and I'd have to look away. So this back and forth kept happening. My face, different eyes in the eyes and the reflection, it was bright red, beautiful, blazing fire that was swirling in my pupil in the reflection of my eye.
Wow.
And it was crazy. And I remember thinking, like, these, I didn't know at this moment what scripture said about the eyes of Jesus. Yeah. And I also didn't clue in that this was Jesus. All I thought in this moment was, these eyes have been here like eternally. Like there's no beginning or end to these eyes. I remember thinking that.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, these eyes aren't just looking at me. They're looking in my soul. And I remember thinking, like, wow, these eyes are looking at me like I'm so pure. Like these eyes just adore me. Like I'm this, like a father adores his newborn child. And I saw this, like, if I could say it, the best way I could say it is probably like an invisible kind of power field. Like you could see power, but in the air, but you can kind of see through it too. Mm. Like I saw that coming from the eyes and flowing into me. It was crazy. Wow. Anyways, it was wild. So I eventually I'm like, this is too much power. And I was freaked out. So I turned around and my parents had a big ensuite closet with or bathroom in the closet. So the closet doors had been, they were closed and my parents hadn't been there for a week. And so when I walked past the closet to go back into the bedroom, I heard this vibration, like intense vibration from inside the closet. And I freaked out. I went to bed. I was like in a fetal position, texted a couple people. Can you pray for me? I don't know what's going on. I'm like, am I going to see an angel in there? Am I going to see something different? Like what's going on in this closet? So eventually I went to look. I calmed down enough to go look in the closet. I opened my door. It sounds anticlimactic, but all it was my mom had this hair blower. What's it called? Blow dryer.
Oh yeah.
She had the blow dryer that was, it was broken. And so the reason it was hanging up in her closet with her clothes, because it was broken and it didn't have power anymore and it wasn't plugged into anything. But when I walked by the closet, it started vibrating against the wall because it turned on.
Oh, wow.
And my parents just moved out of that house this past summer. So I went and I looked at those marks one more time just because I'm like, that was such a crazy experience. But the power that came from these eyes into me, like...
turned on something else.
crazy. So the power of God in us is crazy. It affects the world.
It does.
The physical world.
Wow.
The next night I was driving to our class at our ministry school with a couple buddies. And I remember the teaching at that night was the power of Christ in you. That was the teaching.
Right.
And I just was like, whoa, that's what God was showing me last night. And then I drove home and I hadn't told my friends what happened, but one of my buddies said to the other buddy in the front seats, he said, I wonder what it would be like to look at the face of God. And the other guy who was driving, he said, I bet you would just see blazing eyes of fire. And I was like, are you kidding? Like that, I had never to my knowledge heard that before.
Yeah.
And then he said that the next night. So wow. Then I looked in Revelation after that and saw that that's also what John describes when he saw Jesus in Revelation. So crazy experience. But that power, dude, man, not even close to the power of the demonic that night when he tried to choke me out. Like the power of God, the fear of God in that moment, it was unlike anything I've ever experienced.
Man, that's epic. I love that. You're probably the first person, I think, that has seen like the eyes. And I've always wondered that with the eyes of the blazing eyes that it talks about in Revelation. And yeah, that's so cool to see a modern day John moment. Super cool.
I guess,
Yeah.
Yeah. It was wild, man.
Man, that is so
creative
cool.
Of God, too, to do it before I even knew that scripture said that.
Yeah. I mean, that way it sort of authenticates it as well, because you could just be seeing what you want to see, knowing what it should look like, but the fact that you had no idea is awesome. Man, so, so cool. So
exactly.
Is there any final words that you want to leave us with or leave the listeners with before we finish up here? We've gone through all of our talking points, and man, I'm not even sure if we should start a new one. Because of this is a good time to finish, and we should definitely do this again. But yeah, any last final words you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, you know, if you really look at the overall call of God on Scripture, or call of God on our lives from Scripture, it's come to me, like pray without ceasing, be thankful, like seek God, seek Him with an open heart. And we put so much pressure on ourselves to do, 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 and do the right thing, and we'd be so busy, and I'm I'm speaking to myself with this too, but it's like God just wants us to come to him and be close to him. And the problems in our lives, they get sorted out when we're close to Jesus. And even when they're not sorted out, they don't affect us as much as they would if we are not close to Jesus. And so I would just say that. I'd say, like, seek Jesus with everything. Don't put pressure on yourself. I really firmly believe that God has us in places where, like he had me, where there was no fruit. And we put pressure on ourselves and feel guilty, but it's exactly the place that God wants us. And so just seek him and know him. And I always say I have this really profound teaching on hearing God's voice. And it's simply ask God, if I can hear your voice, can you make it really real for me? That's my teaching. And obviously there's more to it, but the first time I did that, I had these friends that were, this was 4 days after I had started encountering God, after God called me or had that sensation of peace coming over my body. These friends were saying, "Hey, we want to pray over each other and we want to listen to God for each other." And I couldn't escape it. I'm like in a passenger car going to a friend's house, or in the path, or I was a passenger in this car. And so I couldn't leave, but I was like, if I could do this, can you make it really real for me, God? And so we went around and we were just like listening for God, which I had never done, for God to speak to us. And the first person that we were praying for, I heard nothing. I'm like, I don't know, I don't hear anything. Everybody else, like, I just feel like God is saying this to you and this to you. And I'm like, I don't know, I don't hear anything. And then we prayed for a second person, and as soon as I closed my eyes and I said, God, can you speak to me? I saw this picture, and he was on a farm of this farm that it seemed like a family to him, but it wasn't his actual family. And he was on the one foot outside the fence and 1 foot inside the fence, like or at a gate in the fence. And on the outside of the farm was this gray area with little like sparkly kind of lights. And so everybody else had finished, like, "Hey, well, see this, and God is saying this." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'll just say what I see. I don't know." And so I described this thing to him, to this guy that I had never met prior to that day and didn't know anything about his life, really quiet guy. And he said, out of everybody that prayed, what Matt prayed was exactly my life right now. My fiance, I was engaged for a while, and a year and a half ago, my fiance got killed by a guy texting and driving. And she lived at a farm, and I was with her for a long time. And so I felt at home at that farm, but it wasn't my family farm. And he said, in 5 days is the court case for this guy who killed her. And after that, I'm going to leave the town that I live in, but I don't know where I'm going to go. But wherever I'm going, I know the Lord will meet me there. And so that was the gray area with the sparkly lights. And so, when we seek the Lord and we just ask him, "Hey, can you speak to me? Or can you give me peace? Or can you teach me to think like you?" And we just seek him with everything, and we get the junk out of our lives, like Hebrews 12 talks about, throw off the sin and everything that entangles you so you can run the race with perseverance, the race marked out before you. When we throw that stuff off, the shame, the guilt, the get the sin out of our lives, and then we just seek him, like life becomes more simple, and God will open doors, not just for you, but for people like that guy who needed encouragement, needed to hear from God. And life becomes so much more exciting. And so that's a lot of final words, but I would just say that, like, simplify things and just seek him and just trust him with the timing of things, because he will make things happen. And as one of my old pastors said, he's more good than what we think good is. He's better than we know. And so just trust him with everything.
Wow, man, that is so good, Matt. Awesome. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us on the Jesus Magnet podcast. So find Matt in the description below. You'll see Pure Victory podcast and also the Restored Ministries link. So make sure that you go check that out. And hope you enjoyed this episode of the Jesus Magnet. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Jesus Magnet podcast. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you connect with us. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram. And if you want to support us, be a member of our coffee club, Jesus Magnet Coffee Club. See you next time on the Jesus Magnet.